Brachas Perek Vav, Mishnah Hay. So, a couple of Akdamas. First of all, in their days, in time of Chazal, in the Mishnah time, the way they did their meals was, they'd have, let's say, let's call it, purposes, three phases to the meal. They know how to do it, I live it up. Right? They had like the pre-meal appetizers, and they would drink wine often there. Then they'd have the main meal, and then the meal would be finished, they'd take away the tables, and then have, let's loosely call it like a Viennese table. They'd bring out the dessert, like when they're already full and stuff, then like they bring the dessert as a third phase. So, that's number one. Number two, there's a principle which is going to come up today quite a bit as we're going through Hilchos Brachos here of Iker and Tafel. I'm sure you're familiar with it. The basic idea is if you're eating more than one food together and one food is the Iker, the primary food, and the second is Tafel, it's just subordinate to it for any number of reasons. But if it's coming to be sort of an ancillary part of the meal to the or the part of food to the Iker, the main food, you make a bracha on the Iker, the main one, and you leave the tafel, which will be the topic of a mishnah to itself. But here, in the course of a bread meal, we generally assume that the bread is the Iker always, and everything else essentially, except for the exceptions, of course, is a tafel, which means if you say a motzi you're familiar with, that generally covers pretty much everything else, with the exceptions. Okay, that's second. Third of all, we're going to encounter a word here right at the beginning of called parperes, which I'm going to translate for now as appetizer. Okay, the reason why is essentially three pshatim and all have their own problems of what this parperes is, this appetizer food they had before they washed. Some say it's like just meat or fish, the kind of things you eat with the bread, but no bread yet. Some say it's like a...
hors d'oeuvre?
I'm trying to say an hors d'oeuvre. Hors d'oeuvre, but I'm saying but it becomes technical. What is hors d'oeuvre made of for the Hilchos Brachos? Like what I call appetizer? Hors d'oeuvre. Hors d'oeuvre is maybe a better translation. Hors d'oeuvre. Yeah, so one opinion is it's actual meat or fish, which you get a bracha shakal, of course, on its own. Some say it's like a breadcrumb hors d'oeuvre, which of course would have its own brachas of hamotzi, potentially. And some say it's some kind of like, let's call it a cookie or cake type thing, which you get a bracha mazonos. Fine. So, but we'll call it hors d'oeuvre for the minute, okay? So now, inside the Mishnah, Berach al hayayin shilifnei hamazon. If you made a bracha on wine before the meal, meaning before you washed, like we do, say on a Friday night, so then pater es hayayin shilachar hamazon. That will come to exempt the wine that comes after the meal. Okay, now since there are three phases, there's the pre-wash, there's the during the meal, and there's the when you're done and you're just lounging about, living it up. It's a little ambiguous what that laachar hamazon is referring to here. One thing's for sure. The pre-washing drinking is chashuv, because all you're doing is drinking, essentially. And the post-eating drinking is also chashuv, because what you're doing is essentially sitting around and drinking wine. The question is if the middle drinking is going to be just to sort of wash down the food or not, in which case wine drinking there is less, on its own, less important. Okay, but either way, once you set a brei pri agafen at the beginning of the meal, so then that will come to exempt any brei pri agafens that will be required during or after the meal. It's a shiloh, what's going to be if you say a brei pri agafen in the middle of the meal, since that's like a less, the wine there is serving like on a functional basis as opposed to just for wine's sake, that will cover the brei pri agafen that you need to make at the end of the meal. In other words, what you're done eating but you're just lounging about. Maybe potentially you need to make a new brach on that, potentially. Yes, it's confusing. It's a tricky Mishnah. But again, without all the moving parts, we're going to now say one time simply through. Berach al yayin shlifnei hamazon. If you make brei pri agafen before you wash, like we're doing on Friday night, pater es hayayin shlachar hamazon, that will come to exempt wine later on in the meal, because you said brei pri agafen already.
It's not
halacha. We're not after any halacha maaser. This is a complicated Mishnah. Okay? Hold that thought. Okay, now berach al parperes shlifnei hamazon. If you made a bracha on the parperes, this hors d'oeuvre, before you had the mazon, the main meal, before you washed, again, does that through a machlokas what that parperes is and what the bracha is that you make on it? Either let's call it meat, or it's breadcrumbs, or it's like some sort of mazonasi food, something free from brachas, of course. So that will be pater es a parperes shlachar mazon. Once you said your bracha on that food, so now if you have more of that food, that kind of food, or food of a similar bracha, that will be exempt because you said the bracha beforehand. So, for example, if you ate, let's say, a little weenie on a stick before as your hors d'oeuvre, what do you call it, a hot dog on a stick? I'm just, if that's the shankle,
Franks and blankets.
Franks and blankets, but let's say a frank. Oh, just the frank part, because you're hors d'oeuvre, without the blanket. So then, if you ended your meal some other shahakal food, like ice cream, and you had it in mind before, you wouldn't need to say another bracha on the ice cream. That's how it would go, if you had that in mind from one to the other.
Always before we say
Birchas Hamazon. When I said three phases, I meant before benching. Once you bench, all bets are off, and it's like starting in from scratch. Although I should just say lahalacha, because so you shouldn't be confused. An amazing halacha is that if you eat a shahakol before you say a motzi, you eat an apple. Eat an apple, or you do that, and you don't say a bracha achrona, and then you wash and bench. You need to still lahalacha lemaisa. You need to make another bracha after you bench on the apple. Still, it wasn't part of the meal yet, but that's just lahalacha.
Hold that thought.
Apples are in the meal. Apples are a nightmare. But one second, right? This is Mishnah's. This Mishnah's very, very complex lahalacha. But streamlining again, we're simply saying if you make a bracha on the hors d'oeuvre beforehand, then of course. Well, not of course, but then the chiddush is you won't need to make a bracha after you eat, but before you bench, because you said a bracha already on that kind of food before. Okay? Berach alapas, if you made a bracha on the bread, that's hamotzi, right? That's on any of these, the five grains, like we said yesterday. Hamotzi lechem in haaretz, they'll be pater eser paperis. That'll come to exempt anything that comes to, let's say, accompany the bread. Okay, I have to explain this a little bit. It'll become evident why the machloka starts cropping up here. About what papyrus is. But the reason why, when you say hamotzi on bread, you're now exempt from saying a shakal, it's a steak you eat in the middle of a meal, is because we say that, and this is how it was in Chazal's time, the main staple was the bread, and everything else is just coming also to supplement the bread to fill you up. That's the operative word here. You eat to fill yourself up, bread is the main filler, and then the other things you come into the meal are there just to supplement, so the bread shouldn't be boring. We're very, if you grew up in the West, in a rich country, you're not familiar with that. We basically, now on a Shabbos, eat a little piece of bread to be yoti, then we eat our meal, right? And the bread is like, you don't want to fill up on the bread because you want to have room for the good stuff, right? Which is ironic, right? But that's not how Chazal had it. Chazal had it, if you go to, certainly in the East, they eat rice as a staple still, or even in Africa, they have their staple food, whether it's rice or maize, and then just because you can't eat, they eat rice three times a day, every single day in Indonesia or in wherever. So then they have to put something else in it. So whether it's, in their case, fish or vegetables or whatever it is, that's just to make the rice taste a little different every time. But they're filling up on rice. In Chazal's time, they filled up on bread. And just, you know, sometimes you put a little bit of peanut butter on it, sometimes you have a little bit of, tuna fish, but whatever it is. But it was basically, you're filling up, the bulk was on the bread, and that other bit was to just add and make it taste better. So that, of course, is totally tuffel, because the bread is filling you up. Today, the metzias is a little different, but the point, this is the principle, is the same. If you're anything that's coming to fill you up, that stuff is going to be tuffel to the bread. Saying the hamotzi is on bread, that's filling you up. So, exceptions that rule would be, obvious exceptions would be, lach is if you eat a fruit in the middle of your meal. It's a big question. Because fruit, let's say, for whatever you're eating for, it's probably not to fill you up. You eat a piece of melon, maybe it's to wet your palate, it's for desserts, but it's not filling you up anymore because melons don't fill you up, right? You eat melon all day and all night, watermelon, so for example. So the bracha, you'd have to, that wouldn't be covered by the bracha of hamotzi, and you have to say a new bracha.
It would not be.
Would not be covered. If you eat fruit in the middle of a meal or at the end of a meal, you need to make a new bracha. That's the halacha. I have a long-standing, not that I'm a bar hachi, but I have a long-standing machlokas with a posuk in Yerushalayim over this point. I didn't back down. I hide behind other people. Instead, what's with olives? Because olives are fruit, and the halacha is fruits make a bracha. So I want to insist that on olives function today like a salad, right? He wants to just no way, Jose. A fruit is a fruit is a fruit.
Yeah, olive is always bubble, even in a salad.
No, but saying if you eat an olive on its own, if you eat an apple on its own, you make a brei pre. So that's the halacha. You eat a pear in the middle of a meal. That's not going to fill you up. It's not tuffled to the bread. It's standing alone, and therefore. Eat some bracha. What's with an olive? Because an olive is a fruit. Okay, so you heard the two sides of the story. I said, it may be a fruit technically, but come on, it's just like filling up like anything else in the meal.
So you don't make a bracha on
the olive? I definitely make a bracha on the olive. He said, definitely yes.
You don't? Is he
starting? No, Askashi Posek. I'm comfortable enough to tell you that the halach is you don't make a bracha, but he was insistent. So I'm saying there is that split in the Posek.
What's the difference if it's raw or it's prepared and then it changes the taste?
What's going to, the main...
It's pickled, it's... You're not, yeah, it's not. I don't know how that, but if you eat salt. If your intention is to have this, the taste of the salt, sufficient to make charcoal and not
That's a separate issue. Yeah, that's what bracha says is a separate issue, which we'll get to actually a little bit in a while. But the principle, this is Mishnah, we're principle driven here. It's only tough with the bread if it's coming to fill you up. If it's coming for another function, you want to make a lachaim in the middle of a meal. You just don't want to drink a shot in the middle of a meal because you got some nice Glenlivet. You have to make a bracha shakal on that. If you didn't say break for gutten before, Hamoti wouldn't cover that because you're not drinking the shot of the whiskey to fill you up. Something totally different for the taste. And make a new bracha on it. Not if you made a break for gutten before, because that will cover the drinks. But on its own right, you make a.
True,
but not our point, right? That's a chazal bringing that. Yeah. So that's the main principle here. So again, berach al pas. If you made a hamotzi on the bread is the ikur to fill you up. Pater esa parperetz. That bracha hamotzi will cover whatever else that comes to fill you up, whether it's a cakey thing, whether it's meat or fish, whatever it is that comes, or whether it's even, of course, breadcrumbs.
Just before you go on, would you say an avocado is the same thing as an olive?
I would say it's the same thing. I would say, you know, like this expression, how stupid is, as stupid does. Like, if you're doing it to fill yourself up, then it's filling you up. So who are you kidding? You know, I think, is it functional? A salad, for sure, 7 degrees, you don't make a bracha. If it's functional like a salad, it's part of your meal, then this is me. Ask your own rabbi. I'm saying it's a no-brainer to me that avocado, it's not like a melon. It's a filling part of your food. Egg and pickles, the same thing. I don't know the brachas. Yeah, that's the principle. The principle is, if it's functioning is to fill you, then it's functioning to fill you. Okay. The reason I rolled my eyes there is, and I was like hesitating, is because there's a new world of problem, which is that if parperis is a mazonosy food, and if it's coming not to fill you up, in other words, you're already full.
It's a snack.
Well, let's say you're in the middle of, you finished your meal, and you had dessert, and they come out and bring a nice, you know, apple cake, apple pie for dessert. And rough and apple pie is mazonos, okay? So the pashas is that a mazonos is covered by the hamotzi. The problem is, if it's not going to fill you up anymore, it shouldn't be covered anymore. Yeah? So, now, the question will be, what makes something get a bracha of mazonos? And what makes someone get a bracha of hamotzi in the event that you do what's called kaviyah suda? Once you're filling yourself up, once you're making a proper meal out of something, even a mazonos food, which we called yesterday technically a pasaba bakisnin, food that has like a filler inside of it, if it's coming to fill you up, it gets a bracha hamotzi. So let me speak that out a second. If you are going to eat, let's say for example, you say that calzone, we said calzone is filled, or I don't know what, even cookies. Right? The bracha is mazonos. But if you say, for lunch, I'm eating calzone, and I'll have 2 calzones or 3 calzones, so I'm full. Or for that matter, I think even cookies. I'm going to eat a box of cookies, so I'm full. And this is my lunch. So then the bracha becomes a mozi, you have to wash on it. Even though it's normally mazonos, you're familiar with that probably because of pizza. Pizza is that anomaly there, or the post comes split over what the status is exactly. Don't ask me now. But the point is, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, raisin bagels or chocolate chip bagels. If you're eating lunch on bagels, and they have chocolate chips, everyone agrees you have to wash and bench on those. Okay? So, if something is not for filling you up in a meal, it's just a dessert, so then if it's not really bread, and it's not filling you up, maybe the bracha mostly shouldn't cover it anymore. So it's perhaps the apple cake should function like ice cream, should function like melon for dessert, and you say a shakal on melon, and on an ice cream, and you say a prepare dama on melon, and maybe you should say a mazonos on the apple cake, because it's dessert, it's not filling you up anymore. So, again, I'm talking about, the truth is, if you're Sephardi, like, you can, don't listen to going to halacha. I don't know the halachas. The halachas, Sephardim and Kviyas Suda are like a different world altogether. But I'm speaking Ashkenazim for a second here. So we don't make a bracha out of suffix, because we're afraid the food you're eating is really considered bread. Because remember now, there are 3 opinions what was pasaba bakisin. There are 3 opinions what makes something into a mazonos as opposed to bread. Either it was flaky, or it was filled, or it was sweet. Okay, so usually people don't make a bracha because they're afraid of the other 2 opinions. Whatever you're eating, yeah, it may be sweet, but so what? It's not flaky. So since we say safek bracha lahakel, we won't make another bracha.
So do 3.
Now it seems b'pashtus, and this is how I personally know egg. If it fulfills all 3 criteria, you should make a mazonos on it. Okay, my observation is much of the Olam Zan knows like that, for whatever reason. So you can ask your own parents or your own rabbi. But in my home, if we eat an apple cake, which is crisp, like flaky, and filled with apples and sweet, we'd make a mazonos on it for dessert. Because it's for sure possible to kiss them by all opinions, and it's not going to fill you up because you're already full, so it becomes get a need its own bracha.
Some say 2 of 3.
Yeah? Okay. So that actual halacha might what to do with that, I guess, is beyond the purview of this class, and I'm not the rabbi here. But those are the moving parts here. So we say ala parperis, if you made a bracha on the parperis, right, you say mazonos on parperis, whatever that parperis is, lo pater sapas. It won't be mold to the bracha on the bread, which is hamotzi. So another, if you eat the hors d'oeuvre, you make a bracha on the hors d'oeuvre, that won't cover the bracha on the bread afterwards. So you're going to say, so now, you see where the machlok is coming in. If it's just a pig in a blanket, not the blanket, just a weenie on a stick, right? So then what's the havmin? It would cover the bread. That's the question. So that's what Tosos asked. So they want to answer, oh, you know, it doesn't mean that, it means the breadcrumbs. Or they say, no, you might have a havamina, that since it's shahakol, and we said before shahakol covers everything, maybe it's going to cover your bread all. That's the havamina. That's why they don't, okay, fine. Tosla says, no, it must be breadcrumbs, because of that reason. Either way, everything
will be. I can show you a case where it could be pater. Herring.
Yeah, well, hold that thought. 1 second, we're about to get there. Right? But we're not dealing with that. We're not talking ikra and tafa here. We're simply saying, you've had two phases, you know, the lady went around with a tray, and you had a pig in a blanket, and you whatever it is, you had your, and you made your bracha on it, and now you have to wash it. Have you been yotzi, could you say the shahakol, or could you say the mazonos, or you said amotzi on that food? Do you need a new bracha when you come sit down to wash? The answer is yes. The answer is, even if you made a bracha, Allah paperis, lo pater sapas, it won't cover the pas.
If you had enough paperis to say the after bracha, do you say the after bracha before making it?
Yeah, you have to, yes. Unless it's a mazonos. If it's a mazonos, it's like a whole nightmare. Don't, like, bottom line, don't do it. What? And if you get, that's the bottom line. What? It's a big mess. It's a big halachic mess to eat a mazonos prior to your, like, you know you're gonna wash, and then you start filling up on cake before you wash your hands. It's a halachic night. It's a halachic nightmare. I think the Mishnah Berurah basically says, just don't do it. Like, don't go there. Because you sort of, you know, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. You can't say bracha, but you cannot say bracha. It's a mess. Okay. Yeah. So, but the Mishnah hopefully is glot. I'll read it again when we get to the end of it, just to make sure it reads simple, clear. But finally, in a Beishamai Omrim, Aflo Masa Kedera, literally means Beishamai says, even not a Masa Kedera, if you made a bracha on Parperis, and assuming the bracha is a Mazonos, that's the easy way to read this Mishnah, it won't cover what's called Masa Kedera, Mazonos you cook in a pot. Let's call that porridge, or let's call that pasta. Right, so it's not baked grain. Even though the bracha is the same, mazonos, it won't, saying a bracha on the parperis won't cover your other kind of mazonos that's a cooked grain instead of a baked grain. So if, in other words, if you eat a cookie, you have to say new bracha on mazonos again on your spaghetti. That's what Beishami says. That's of course not the halacha. We say mazonos is a mazonos. If you say cookies and pasta, you make bracha one, you're motzi with that, you're yotzi the chiyuv to say on the other. Okay.
What's my suggestion?
Maisa kadera means something you make in a pot. A kadera is a pot. Maisa?
A quiche. Oatmeal
porridge. Yeah, oatmeal porridge. Not really quiche. Let's leave quiche out of it. Right. So this mission is, like, as you can see, wildly complicated. I'm going to read it one time through for everyone just so it's, like, simple. Because the truth is, you can read it very simply and you won't feel bad. My 7-year-old son memorized it. He feels very good. He knows it. And you're going to know it at least as well as him now. I'm reading it one time through. Simple. Berach ala yayin shlifnei mazon. If you make a brach on wine before the meal, patas a yayin shlachar mazon. You don't need to make a new brach on wine during or after the meal, before you bench. Berach ala parperes shlifnei mazon. If you made a brach on the hors d'oeuvre before you washed and said a motzi, patas a parperes shlachar mazon. Even if you eat during or even after the meal, before you bench, more hors d'oeuvre, more things of the similar bracha, no bracha required. Your bracha before covers that afterwards. Berach al pas, if you said a motzi, pateras parperis, that will cover everything that comes to assist the pas in filling you up. Al parperis, if you made a bracha on the parperis, lo pateras pas, that won't be sufficient to cover the bracha on the bread. Beishamai omrim, af lo masa kedera, Beishamai say, making a bracha on the parperis isn't enough even to be motzi on the chiv of saying a bracha on a maisa gedera on a mazonos food that you cook in a pot. Simple, right? Read simple when you read it like that. Right, just keep on going fast and don't stop. Okay, fine. Good. Mishnah Vav. Now, so now, a few Hagdamas here. Hagdama number one is this. There's a general principle. We say a Shomea Ka'ona. If you hear a bracha, that's as good as saying it. Right? It's a question, by the way, if you're even not saying Amen, if you're Yotzi. And there are those, I think Shulchan Aruch rules like that. If you just hear a bracha but don't say Amen, you're still Yotzi the bracha. Could be, if you want to be, anyways. If you have Kavana. If there's bilateral Kavana, then you're Yotzi. Okay? That's the first thing you have to know. So listening, Shomea, is as good as Ona is actually saying it. Number one. Number two, there's a principle, the Med of a Pasuk in Mishlei, Barov Am Hadras Melech. Like, there's more, with a bigger number of people, is a greater glory for the king. And therefore, there's a preference to making one person making a bracha for everyone, and then everyone answering Amen. Like that unified, you know, unified front of everyone blessing Hashem together is an extra praise to Hashem. That's how Hashem likes it best. So that's ideal. Ideal. Now that is only going to work in terms of brachas on food if everyone's eating together. If everyone's not together, then it's not the same. But if everyone's come together to eat, so then that's the time is one person makes for everyone. Friday night, perfect example. One person makes Kiddush, unless you're Chassidish, one person makes a Motzi, right? How come? Because Barova Madras Melech is better to everyone together. But that's because everyone came to eat Shabbos dinner together. If you're sitting in a restaurant or in the benches in the cafeteria, so then it's not the way to do it that everyone should make their own bracha. Okay? Now in Chazal's time, what made something into like everyone together? They used to do what's called Heseba, reclining, like you see the word by Pesach. They'd all, you know, they lived it up. They had these couches, they'd sit up on the couch, they'd have these little, like, everyone have a table in it. So everyone reclines together, that's a proper kvias, everyone's, you know, gathered together. If it's just sitting, yeshiva, then that means, you know, it's cafeteria style, we're eating and we're going, everyone's doing their own thing. So the chiyav to do in Chazal's time of benching together and making a bracha rishona together is if everyone's doing it b'haseba. If it's just yeshiva, just sitting, and everyone, every man for themselves. Right? Alternatively, if you say, you know, let's all go for lunch together in that particular place, then even if you're sitting, of course, since you were kaveh place and time, that would, of course, make it that you're united. Tosfos say b'zman hazeh, no one reclines. Bottom line is, if you're eating together, you're eating together, and you make a one bracha for everyone. That's how we do it today. Fine. Yeah. So that's the Hagdamas. So now, Hayu Yoshvin, if they were sitting, as opposed to Haseba, right, they're sitting down to eat, like cafeteria style, Leachol, to eat. Kol Echad Ve'echad Mavarach La'atzmo. Each person sitting down at the table makes their own bracha. Each and every person is Mavarach La'atzmo, makes a bracha for himself. Even if they're sitting together, but they're each at their own, like they're each doing it, they're not unified as having a meal together. They're just each having their own private meal sitting at the table. Like you do at the lunch table. So. Eat at cafeteria. That's right. Cafeteria style. Now, Hesebu, if everyone's reclining, you know, like then it's like they've come together to eat. Right? What we call, you know, everyone's invited for dinner at my house at such a time and place. Everyone's come, but they did it by reclining. Echad Mavarach L'Kulam. The way to do it is one person makes a bracha for everybody. Like you do it on Friday night. Okay? Balem Yain B'Socha Mazon. Now what happens if wine comes to the table in the middle of the meal? Everyone's eating, chomping away, and comes the wine. So Kol Echad Ve'Echad Mavarach L'Atzmo. Each person makes his own bracha on the wine. The Gemara says the reason why is because your mouth, it's called Beis Ablia, literally means like your throat. Your throat is not available to answer main at that time. The two pshatim, either you don't care about the guy making brachas, now you want to eat, right? You're not paying proper attention, so you want to have kavana. Or just you say amen, it could be dangerous, you could choke on your food. So Chazal said, nope, if you're eating, everyone is every man for himself. However, la'achar mazon, if tables are cleared, mouths are cleared, and now there's wine come for dessert, then echad mevarach l'kulam, one person again makes a bracha for everyone. Now, the next sentence, vahu, the next sentence is after they benched, so then they would bring incense in Chazal's time. People forget, in a world before refrigerators and running water, it was a stinky world. Okay, really it was an unpleasant place, and there was food around, and food smelled, everything smelled, basically. So they were accustomed to always having incense burning to take away some of that smell. So if you take incense, what it is, it's like a, whatever it is, you know, tree leaves and stuff, that they'd burn. And you smell it, and there's a bracha you make on smelling that, berei, atzei besamim, assuming it comes from Nates. Okay? So, Vahu, and he, Omer ala Mugmar, he also says the bracha on the Mugmar. Mugmar is the incense. Afal pi, even though she'ein mevin es a mugmar, even though they didn't bring the mugmar, the incense, el la'achar hasuda, except once the suda was finished. So the vahu is a little ambiguous, and there's no mention of benching here, but the pashtus is, there's the unspoken out, then they benched after they drank their wine, and then the guy who did the benching, who, since he did the benching, he also says the bracha on the mugmar, because it's like sort of like one long string of events. And the chiddush is, even if there's some, you know, even if some big Rosh Shiva came in, and now he can't bench, necessarily, because he needs with them, but after the benching, you think he should get the honor of making the bracha on the mugmar, of the incense, the answer is no. Whoever did the benching, mugmar is like, continues on, and that bencher, the man who did the benching, also says the bracha on the mugmar, even if someone's greater than him, is present.
What's the incense for?
Just to take away the smell, or make it smell nice. Nobody else, custom. I don't think, just speaking it out, today, if someone would bring incense after the meal, this halach of the guy benched has to say the mugmar would apply, because today, if you bring incense, they're not connected. They're not part of the, you know, benching protocol. In those days, benching protocol was, there's all, you know, when you wash your hands, and when you bench, and when you clear up the table, and like part of the process was you bring out the incense. So that's like a package deal here. I don't think it would apply today.
In our culture, in
the way we are used to. Obviously, if it was, and if it is, then it is, but I don't think we do it today. I'm just saying, I mean, why am I saying that? I'm saying that because I'm trying to illustrate the point is the mugmar in their time was like an integral part of the benching. And
dessert.
Not, it was like dessert. Like, yeah, you not bring
part
dessert.
Part of the program.
That's right. Since it's part of the program, the guy who does the benching, he also is entitled to, like, you know, finish off the job, which is another bracha at the end. Okay. Good. Mishnah Zayin. Here, Ikra Tufel again, it's your case that you brought up. So again, remember Ikra Tufel, if you are eating something that's Ikra, it's Poter, it's the Tufel. If you're eating a primary food, and it has something that just comes with it to make it edible, or to serve it, then you make a blessing on the main food and not on the secondary food, the adjunct food. So the extreme case is here in the Mishnah. Hevi lefanav maliach b'tchila. They brought before him something salty, what's called salty fish, herring, and b'tchila first. So let's say that was the whatever betechila is coming exactly to address. That means that's the primary thing. He wants to eat salty herring. Upas imo, and pas came with it, either like as a cracker, like to put it down your throat, or the pas it was first, and then to wash down the salty thing. You had a piece of bread. Mevarach ala maliach, you make a bracha shehakol on the salty food. Upotras and pas, and that will make it. You won't say any bracha on the bread because the bread is pretty functional. Okay, la'alacha, we don't do this. This you should know. And the Gemara and the Rosh Hashanah want to go like to a very strange case where you basically were full first. You were full first, ate lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of fruit, and they're really sweet, and therefore to cut the taste of sweet, you ate something really salty. Now you have to cut the taste of the salt, but you're really full, so the bracha on the, you don't make a bracha on the bread because it's not filling you up. Okay. So to deal with the problem of bread itself never being tuffled, it comes to that very strange kind of case. But the principle outside of bread is certainly true, that if something's coming to just to support the food or make it edible, it doesn't get a separate bracha unless you're eating it and it's independent for its own, you want it. That is going to deal with your question of like the salt or your question of the... I'll give you a simple illustration of the halacha. I'm sure there are people who argue with this and me, and I'm... But I have who to hide behind. So if you eat an ice cream on a cone, do you make a bracha on the cone? So if you ask me, you'll find people on all sides of the spectrum, I'm sure. If you ask me, it depends. If it's those horrible styrofoam cones that you know you get that you give your kids because they're cheap, no bracha, because it's just a handle. Just a handle, right? But if you go to the fancy ice cream parlor that have the sugar cones, you know, and they're yummy on their own right, and they're chocolate dipped the whole nine yards, so it needs a separate mezonos. That's how I'm going to be mugged here, the difference. Do you understand? Like, because you want the cone. As opposed to, like, what are you going to do with it? You can't find a rosh, and you just eat the silly thing. No bracha, because it's just a handle.
Make the mezonos first.
So, that's a good question. That's a good question. But pashas, you don't have to. If you ask me, you don't have to.
So what if you have a choice? Silly question. What if you have a choice? Would you like it a cup or a cone? I took in the cones. They gave me that cheapy cone, whatever.
Right. It would depend, I guess, if you wanted.
So I asked for it. So
yeah. It depends. What you're asking
choice.
For. It's more fun to eat it. Everyone likes to lick ice cream when they eat it out of the spoon, right? It depends. But that's one thing's for sure. I give you just a clear example. You eat a bowl of cereal, and there's a chocolate, better yet, you know what it calls, Cocoa Pop cereal. And I know you want the chocolate at the end, chocolate milk at the end. So you finished all the Rice Krispies, the chocolate Rice Krispies, and now you have chocolate milk at the bottom. So there, you won't say a bracha on the chocolate milk because it's just, it was just there. It was just there, happened to be. And the bracha, it's a pack. When you made a bracha on the Rice Krispies, it was like, it was a package. What's left over, you eat. So that will be a clear example. Okay? What's going to be if you put it in a cup and save it for later? Right? Okay, so. Okay, fine. So, fine. Okay, zeh klal. Now the Mishnah zeh klal. This is the principle. Kol shu ikar, if something is primary, v'imo tfela, and there's like a secondary thing coming with it, v'vachal ikar, you make a bracha on the primary thing, a poter satfela, and then the tefillah is covered. They ask the question, usually when it says zeh klal in the Mishnah, there's always something lurking they're not mentioning. It's not pashut anything here is lurking, by the way. Okay, they discuss why and what, but I want to push forward because that, the pashut says there's nothing lurking, you're just saying a simple principle, so you should know. Okay. Now, Mishnah Ches. I need a chumash. Can I have someone just to get me a chumash here? They're a chumash out. Okay, so this is the last Mishnah in the parak here, and we're dealing with benching, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Okay, but you got to know in Devarim, where it brings the mitzvah. So there are three psukim in Devarim Ches. Okay, and first of all, it says a pasuk we said yesterday in Devarim Ches. It says, describing Israel, it's an eretz chita usora v'gefen tein a rimon eretz zei shem v'vash. It's a land with these, blessed with these different kinds of fruits. Then there's another perek pasuk test, which says eretz asher lo b'miskenus toichel ba lechem. It's a land that you won't eat. You won't have to eat bread like in like scarceness. Leisechzer kol ba eretz asher avne barzel. It's a land that lacks nothing, and it's, yeah, okay? That's Pasuk Tes. But the operative there, it said, you will, a land that you will eat bread without scarcity. That's Pasuk Tes. The Pasuk Yud says, V'achalta v'slevatu v'rachta, you will eat, and you'll be satisfied, and you'll bless. Es Hashem l'kecha, Hashem, al ha'aretz hatova shenasam lach, on the land that's good, that Hashem gave to you. So again, three psukim. One pasuk says the Zayin Minim, these seven species. That's pasuk Ches. Pasuk Tes says a land you'll eat bread with nothing lacking, no lacking in the bread. And then pasuk Yod says you'll eat and be satisfied and bless Hashem for the land that's good. And those are the moving parts here. Okay, so now let me first of all explain to you Birchas HaMazon, as we're used to. Birchas HaMazon Midoraisa has three components to it. Thank you. The first is called Birchas HaMazon. It's called Birchas HaZan. That's the first paragraph. Okay, that's a bracha on the food itself, right? And Nechiyah is Medoraisa. The actual words that we say is a nusach we say that Moshe told them to bench on when they eat the man. Okay. The second section, starting in Noda, ending Ala Aretz V'Mazon, is called Birchas HaAretz. It's a bracha on the land, right? It's a chi of doraisa to thank Hashem for the land, as it says Ala Aretz Tova on the land. But the actual nusach of that bracha was added by Yoshua when they came to the land. Okay, and then there's a third parsha called Bonei Yerushalayim on Jerusalem. Learn out Midoraisa from the Tova part of Eretz Tova, the goodness. The good part is Jerusalem. Again, a bracha you have to say on the building of Jerusalem, which we say. Those three paragraphs are a chi of Midoraisa. Okay, then there's a fourth paragraph that we say, which is added later on. That was added, we call it Tovu Ameitiv. That was added in the second century after they were able to bury the dead of Beitar. Remember, we said in the first day, Jews were after the second war with the Romans and the massive destruction, and that perhaps as many as 600,000 were killed just in the stronghold of Beitar, which was the place where Bar Kokhba led his, so it was the headquarters of the revolt. And the Romans, who were fed up, Hadrian, probably fed up with the Jews, to punish them, said the whole town of Beitar, which I'm talking between 400,000 and 600,000 people were murdered in the city of Beitar. They said, "You're not allowed to bury them. Not allowed to bury them." It was summertime, and you can imagine that's bad news. Not just bad news that it's not proper cover for the mace, and that the stinks would be unbelievable, but you'd have proper epidemics. I mean, 600,000 rotting human bodies is what should have really wiped out the whole country, just of the whatever, you know, pandemic would come from that. But nothing happened. Not only that, but when they finally interceded the rabbis to get convince the Romans to be able to bury the dead, they hadn't decomposed at all. Like a really big public nace. And Chazal saw fit to make a whole bracha to commemorate that one miracle. It's a pretty remarkable miracle. Right? Since the bodies didn't decompose, they didn't rot. Chazal made a bracha. We should say that Hashem isn't just good. Hatov also hametiv. He does good. He goes out of his way. I think that's important message. Is they wanted to. It isn't loose. It isn't really. I don't think. Except they wanted to commemorate this miracle was a big miracle, the proper big miracle. And I think perhaps they wanted it. It's so. Because Shemoneh Esrei are bakashas, our requests. So they saw fit. I think they saw fit for whatever the reasons. That when you're thanking Hashem for all the good He does you, He's not just that He does. He's not just good. He's like super duper good. Look how far He goes. And I think that maybe they wanted people to remember that, like how far Hashem's goodness goes. In those times, things were so bad. Like really, things were. They really. I told you that was the first day we said they thought Judaism was basically finished. They had Havamina not to have children anymore. They had Havamina just to finish. To like let Hashem let us die and move on. Like we're not, and we'll disappear. But it was terrible, terrible times. So I guess they wanted people to, like, as they eat every day, recognize Hashem really is with them. I'm speculating.
When people are fully, sometimes lose track of when you no longer have like a hunger.
Right. Could
lose
be.
Track of where...
Could be. So whatever it is, that's the bracha. So the first three are Doraisa. Those are the Gimel brachas. So the fourth is Derabanan. And then we have something called the bracha Me'ein Shalosh, which means, remember, Me'ein means a miniature version of. That's what we use when we say on Mazonos. It's one bracha that includes all Me'ein Shalosh, all those three, and really the fourth also in there. They're like one-liners squeezing in these concepts of the food, the land, Israel, actually Jerusalem and Tova Meitiv. Okay. Fine. One of the points I want to make before I make Hakdama is separate points. When you... We talk about brachas rishonas and brachas achronas. Beginning brachas for food and brachas achronas, foods after you eat. They come for different reasons altogether. The bracha rishona you're making is on enjoying the food. The fact that it tastes good, the joy you have in your mouth, let's say. So in other words, if you knew it wasn't good for you, like it isn't if you're eating a lollipop, or you knew you're going to, I don't know, vomit it up immediately after it went down, you still say a bracha, because it doesn't matter, it's not about the nutrition. The bracha achrona is on the nutrition that you're getting from it. So if it wouldn't nourish you, at all, or for example, once you've vomited it out, you can't say bracha anymore because you're not getting benefit from it.
So you'd say half bracha the lollipop?
If you chewed it and you ate enough, like this, if you yes,
it's not good for you. Though.
Yeah, but there's some nourishment there. Look what happened in the Warsaw Ghetto on a piece of chocolate they lived, right? So there is something there. There's, you know, still sugars and stuff. Okay, but the issue will be what's with something like water, which has no nutrients. That will be the issue of the Mishnah here. Okay, fine. We're going to finish this Mishnah for sure and finish the Perek. Achal te'enim anavim v'ramonim. If you ate te'enim or figs, anavim, grapes, ramonim, these are pomegranates, right?
Yeah.
Mevorach achreim shalosh brachos, div Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel says if you eat any of these things, actually any of the Zayin Minim, of the five fruits also, any of the Zayin Minim that the land was praised with, you have to bench. Because he says, remember there were three psukim? So the first pasuk was praising the land of Israel, and then it said, you're thank Hashem ala arts hatova, the good land. So what makes the land good? These seven things. So if you eat any of these seven things, you have to bench on them. Well, I guess you wouldn't eat. No.
Those are usually juxtaposed.
I know. The honey you would, because that's devash. I guess. The honey is not. Because these psukim, these psukim are there. These honey is not mentioned here, and milk. I mean, milk is not mentioned there, and these psukim.
It's connected to arts and
tova. I know, but here, these psukim, it's a technical point. You'll see, it's more technical even than that.
Does it have to be from Eretz Yisrael, or is it prison eating olives of Spain? Does it say that?
That's a good question.
Hey, Rosh Shenishtabcha by Eretz Yisrael. That does not mean they came from Eretz Yisrael.
I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't know. So, if you eat these b'chdei tzviya until you're full, you eat dates till you're stuffed, then you have to bench midoraisa. If not, you have to bench according to Rabban Gamliel, bench in full just midorabanan. So when we say, you know, ala peiros, right, the bracha, right, the main shalosh, so he's saying do the whole thing. If you eat ramonim, even not to Sviya, midrabanan, and to Sviya to full satisfaction, midoraisa at the bench. That's not the halach, of course, we don't bench on that. The halach is like the chum. The chum say, bracha achas mein shalosh. If you eat. Rabban Gamliel says, make birkas amazon on eating any of the five fruits.
To fullness.
Even not to fullness, but then you're benching midrabanan. with fullness, midoraisa. Ramban Gamliel is saying you have to bench. If you eat figs, you have to bench. Just like if you eat bread, you have to bench. If you're not full, you still have to bench, but just midorabanan. Right? Eat it because I have the bread, you have to bench. So Ramban Gamliel says that the psukim are connected, and therefore they're connected, and you make a bracha like benching even on those line things. However, the Chacham say bracha ma'achas main shalosh, it's just a mini bracha, just what we're used to, because they say that remember, it was pasuk ches was the fruits, tes said you'll eat bread without scarcity, and then pasuk yud was bless Hashem. They said pasuk tes is talking about bread, and it's interceding between pasuk ches and pasuk yud, so therefore the fruits are out and only bread obligates you to bench. That's the machlokas there. Because wheat and barley are like two of the seven, which aren't fruit at all. Okay. And Rabbi Kiva says, "Afilu achal shelek." Even if you just a cooked vegetable, and the Gemara says vegetables don't fill you up, but if it was the stem of a cabbage, and it will fill you up. All right, but the point is, if you're filled up by your food, v'umazono, that was your meal, and now you're stuffed. Mavarach achal shelosh brachos. You got a bench. Doesn't matter what you ate. If you're stuffed, even Chinese food, you got a bench, right? So that's the machlokas, right? Plus straightforward. Fine. Rabbi Kiva says again, afilu achal shelek, even if you just ate a cooked vegetable, not very filling, and certainly not one of the brachas, but you ate the bottom of the vegetable soup pot, and now you're stuffed. Vehu mazono, that was your meal. That was your sustenance. And now you're full. Mavarach achrav, you have to bench shalosh brachas, a full benching. Not the halacha, of course. Okay, now the last part of the Mishnah here is the question of water. Water, we said, doesn't have nutrition in it, per se. If you look at a water bottle, it says, 0000 on the nutritional value. But obviously, water is integral to life. So, first of all, the Tanakhama says, Hashos samayim litsam'o, litsma'o, I should say. If you're drinking water for your thirst, why I say for your thirst? Because if you're not thirsty, there's no real joy in drinking water. And I told you the bracha rishona is coming on actually enjoying the food.
Or not because you're taking a pill.
Yeah, correct. So if you're eating it because you're thirsty, then you're enjoying the water, you make a bracha, shehakol niyad bevaro. But if you're eating it for another reason, just to get something down your throat, a pill, to hydrate yourself for your triathlon, no bracha. Okay? Reb Tarfon Omer Barin of Hashas Robos, he says it's a different bracha to be said on it. The Pashas here, we'll say for a second, he's talking about the bracha Rishona here. And you make a bracha Brenafashos, which means, let me explain the bracha here for just a moment here. The words mean Brenafashos Rabos, you created lots of souls. Then it says Vechesronan, such people I think mistakenly think it means, like, and thank Hashem for making me lacking. That's not the pshat, right? It's not the pshat. The pshat is, you created the things that we lack. Chesronan, they're things that they are deficient in, i.e. water. And therefore it gets a separate bracha. So there's a question, if he's saying water is less worthy of a bracha than other things because of the nourishment, or if water is more worthy than other things because it's so vital to life. It's the most important, deficiency man has. He can't go even 3 days without water. So either way, the part that, which either it's for like let's call it because it's more or less important. Reb Tarfon says you make a different bracha, and of course the halacha is we say shehakol on the before drinking water, and we say brenafashos rabos, a special bracha on water to recognize its central importance. We say it on brenafashos afterwards to sort of hit both sides. It could be that Reb Tarfon would say no bracha chrona at all on water. That's how it would come up. We back both horses by saying before like that and after like that. Tov, very good. We did it.